Welcome to TechNation Health, reimagining the future of health and healthcare with the emergence of new technologies and breakthrough science. Infectious diseases can come from many sources: bacteria, viruses, fungi, parasites, and more. It can be a little difficult to grasp, but if you have such a condition, from a common cold to a much more serious disease, you've been infected by a living organism, which was somehow passed to you, and you may unwittingly pass it along. The symptoms are frequently the same, but the cause makes all the difference in treatment. For example, if you have an infection caused by bacteria, antibiotics can address the bacteria directly. But if your condition is caused by, say, a virus or a fungus, antibiotics simply won't work. Dr. Marco Taglietti is the president and CEO of Synexis, which is working in the area of serious invasive fungal infections. I asked him, what's the difference between a bacterial infection, a viral infection, and a fungal infection?
Well, as an infectious disease specialist, all these are all due to a specific pathogen. But these pathogens are very different. The viruses are the most, basic type of pathogens. They need to leverage the metabolism of the cells that they infect in order to spread. And these are actually type of infections that are very, very common, you know, cold, flu. The bacterial infection are due to a pathogen which is a little bit more, from an evolutionary point of view, a little bit more evolved. So it's an organism capable of living by itself, and it's spreading around. These type of infections, there are, of course, hundreds of different types of bacterial infections, and they can range from very, very mild infections to very, very severe too, especially when they involve the patients that are very fragile. And the fungal infections, which is the area of interest for myself and my company, is really the one where there are the most evolved type of organisms, more similar actually to the human cells. And this explains why they're much more difficult to treat, because when you try to treat a virus or a bacteria, they are so different from our cells that it makes somewhat easier to find good targets that do not damage human cells.
Yeah, but take an antibiotic, we never think of it damaging the human cell. It's just after the bacteria.
Yes, because it's after the bacteria, because it targets some kind of structure or enzyme or receptor that is present only in the bacteria. But as you start to move to fungal infection, and the fungi are much more similar to our cells, it becomes more and more difficult to find a mechanism or a receptor or an enzyme which is specific for the fungi. This is why fungi have been traditionally much more difficult to treat than bacteria.
A fungal infection, is it just called that, or are there diseases that we would call that happen to be fungal infections?
Oh, absolutely. So first of all, there are two major groups of fungal infections: superficial fungal infections, which are very common, like, for example, onychomycosis, the infections that you have of the nails, black nails.
Athlete's foot.
Athlete's foot, vulvovaginal candidiasis. These are all typical fungal infection, superficial fungal infection, or frust, the infection that you can have in the mouth, or even certain kind of diaper rash in children can be a superficial fungal infection. And these are usually relatively easy to treat. The second group of infections are infections in patients usually immunocompromised, where the fungi had the opportunity to invade the body and the bloodstream of a patient.
Because you're immune compromised.
Exactly. In fact, these type of invasive fungal infections have been really increasing in the last several decades as we improved actually our ability, for example, to treat patients with transplantation or cancer patients with new chemotherapy that treated, for example, the original disease, like in cancer, but also caused immunodepression. And when a subject is immunodepressed, the fungi can find a way inside the body of a patient. And these are very serious infections with high mortality, 20 to 50% mortality, because both the infection is very aggressive and the patient is very frail.
Are these normally acquired inside, say, a hospital setting?
Actually, it's interesting. Usually, the most of the infection, for example, candidiasis, which is the most common form of invasive fungal infection, is actually an endogenous infection. In other words, most of the patients are carrying this.
Already have it.
Already have it. And what happens is that when they get immunosuppressed, the fungi...
They say, time to start rising.
Absolutely. Let's open the door and let's get in. And this is what happens. And of course, there may be also situation where actually someone can acquire certain fungal infections. Like, for example, there are endemic infection, like in certain areas of Arizona and New Mexico. There is infection called valley fever, which is common of that area and is a fungal infection, usually a form a respiratory infection, like a sort of a pneumonia, but can spread actually to the whole body. And also other infections, like Aspergillus is a very common fungi in the air. Most people, they just breathe in and breathe out the fungi, the Aspergillus, without problems. But there are situations in which the subject is immunocompromised and the fungi, once it's in the lungs, can start to spread and start to grow inside the lungs.
Now, if you have a fungal infection and you're immune compromised, you're already being treated for your immune compromise, whatever caused you to be immune compromised. How do you treat the fungal infection?
Like there are antivirals, antibacterials, there are, of course, antifungals. And this is what is used, antifungals. The major challenge with antifungals, however, is that differently from antibacterial, which, as I mentioned, there are many possible targets that you can go after when you fight this infection, for antifungals, there are not too many targets. So there are only basically three classes of antifungals with 7-8 antifungals compared to antibacterials where you may have dozens of classes and where you can have hundreds of different antibacterials. So we have antifungals. They are effective. However, it's a very limited number. And so when a strain of fungi becomes resistant, there is not too much left. And this is one of the biggest challenges that we have currently in the area of antifungals.
So what's Synexis working on?
So at Synexis, we are working on a novel antifungal, which is a new class. So we are bringing a fourth class to the armamentarium of the doctors. And is a broad-spectrum antifungal that can be given both orally and intravenously. And most importantly, is an antifungal that, by belonging to a different class, is active against strains that are resistant to other antifungals. So that is really the focus of our activity. A novel antifungals, broad-spectrum, able to fight resistance, antifungal resistance.
So the fungi haven't seen it before, therefore it's not resistant to it.
Exactly. These pathogens, being bacteria or fungi, as soon as they start to see the new weapon, they start to think how to go around it. And this one is going to be an endless warfare with them. One thing I mention frequently is that I truly believe that one day we will treat conditions like cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson, you just name it. But one area where we will continue to have a fight is actually infections, because this pathogen has been here billions of years before us. They will be here billions of years after us. And every time we find something that can kill them, well, they start to work to find a way to go around it. So that is actually one of the reasons I love anti-infectives so much.
Now, bacteria, unlike humans, can pass information between them, DNA between them, so that if one gets a resistance, it can pass it along. You know, we only pass DNA on to our offspring. What about fungi? Can they pass DNA between them, or do
actually,
we even
this
know?
This is excellent question. Let me just say, it's as you said, bacteria have a way, like transposon or plasmid, to actually to transfer not only to other bacteria of the same species, the resistant, but even to bacteria of a different species. Whereas antifungals, fungi don't have this capability. They don't have this capability to do to use transposon or plasmids to transfer. And again, it's because their, let's say, biological machinery is much more complex than the one of a bacteria. And so this mechanism does not exist, which is an advantage for us.
Phew.
Yes, it's an advantage for us because this means that we have an opportunity to, find something and knowing that will not spread if they become resistant to someone else.
Why is the effort that you're working on a fourth class? What is it targeting that the others are not?
We are targeting an enzyme that has been shown already to be very effective in inhibiting the growth and killing actually the fungi, and so we have at least another class that targets the same enzyme, and it's called the glucan synthase inhibitor. It's an enzyme that helps to build a hard shell around the fungi. Think like almost a coconut shell protecting the fungi. And this is what we do. We disrupt that shell so the fungi will die. We are targeting, so, an enzyme that has been shown already to be a very effective target. But we are targeting with a different kind of molecule, a completely different class, that will inhibit this enzyme in a different way. And in fact, one of the advantages of this is that it could be used in combination with other fungi to make sure that if some of these fungi try to escape by using combination, we can be sure to nail them down. So what we do by inhibiting this enzyme, the hard shell around the enzyme, think like a coconut shell, just breaks down.
Ah, and when it breaks down, there's no protection.
Actually, the fungi becomes like a blob that just breaks down and dies.
Oh, Marco, thank you so much. Please come back and see us again.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Dr. Marco Taglietti is the president and CEO of SciNexus. More information is available at SciNexus.com. That's SciNexus, SCYNEXIS, SciNexus.com. For Tech Nation Health, I'm Moira Gunn.
Tech Nation and its regular segment Biotech Nation are produced at the studios of KQED-FM in San Francisco. Executive producer is Matt Gardner. The director of technical production is Monte Carlos. And audio engineers include Howard Gelman, Seal Mahler, and Larry Upton. Our theme music was composed by Ann Nachtrieb-Zesiger and Robert Powell, with title creation provided by NameLab Incorporated of San Francisco. Program information and internet audio is available on the web at technation.com. Tech Nation and Biotech Nation are productions of Tech Nation Media. I'm Paul Landcore.